like no one else but you, so stay by my side, like I stay on your mind.
What time is it, Mink?
It's Tristan coffee time.
Hey friends, welcome to the Truth and Coffee Time podcast with Diverse Love. I am Denise.
And I'm Brian.
Get your coffee or whatever your cup of joy is and settle in for some bold conversations, some random topics, a few cuss words, and a whole lot of us. Brian,
let's go.
Mr. B.
Good morning.
You like my new mug?
Yes.
Did you know I had bought a new mug?
No.
Wait. Before you do that, I did remove one and put it away and replaced it with this one.
All right. The key is you take some away and you don't replace them.
No. I posted this one. I told everybody that you said I got way too many mugs back.
Do you know if friends and family came over here? I'd have to.
You have to go buy some glasses.
No.
Or just go get them some plastic cups.
My friends, not yours. All right, so listen. Your friends don't drink out of plastic cups.
No, they are way too bougie for that.
All right, so.
My cousin said, I opened her cabinets when we stayed at her Airbnb, and I opened the cabinets, and she said, I said, where are your plastic cups at? Because we had the grand jewels with us. She said, what?
I know. That's what I'm saying.
She said, we don't do no plastic cups.
So the key is to take 10 away, buy one. Whatever.
But this one is from an amazing black woman entrepreneur. It's called Love Mugs. Her platform is Love Mugs by Nikki, and she's actually going to be on the show here coming soon. But this is one of her newer mug, and it's really cool. On one side it has her brand, and then the other side it says show gratitude, pray, smile, have fun, keep learning, drink water, laugh, read, eat well, make goals, exercise, help someone, be kind, journal, get some rest, and love yourself. This is going to be one of my favorite mugs. It's reminding me to do a lot of ish, but I'm hoping I can do a couple things on here.
Okay.
Before we get into our subject today, Brian, so Mr. B, I was listening to podcast Terry Crews interview, and he was talking about Hollywood and you know that he had put in a sexual assault against you know, the name escapes me, but it was when the Me Too movement. Mm-hmm. And so he was one of the males that jumped into the Me Too movement, and the black community gave him so much crap, like, you're a big ass, you know, muscular self, you're gonna let somebody touch you and get away with it. And he was talking about that on the podcast, and he was saying that that when you're in this industry, it's like people feel like they're entitled to do whatever, and they will do something and like dare you to say anything about it. And because you are wanting and needing to take care of your family, like at one time him and his family was homeless, and you know what I'm saying? When you're wanting to take care of your family, sometimes you just brush things off, but you never deal with that person again.
Right.
You know? And so, and I've seen that, we've experienced some, you know, similar to that in just regular
life.
Everyday life, yeah. You know, but he said when he decided to file the lawsuit, it was on the back end of his wife, because he had talked to his wife about it, and his wife said, let me teach you how to handle this as a female would handle it. But no, as a male, and especially as a black male in the black community, you're going to get a lot of backlash. And I remember this whole scenario, but what I didn't know about his lawsuit is that he did not ask for money. He didn't ask for money. He paid over $500 million in attorney fees.
$500
million? Mm-hmm. I mean, $500,000 in attorney fees and all kind of stuff to pay for this himself, you know. And when they looked at his documents, they was like, well, what is you on? He's like, I don't want money. I don't want any money. I want him removed. I want him removed mm-hmm. so no one else would have to deal with this, or no one else will have to suffer in silence because, you know, people are going to backlash on it. And so I just thought that was interesting. And I didn't think that a lot of our community knew that he never did that for money. He did it to expose this person mm-hmm. and to have this person removed, which, you know, it worked because when he came out, then a whole slew of people, females and stuff, started coming out as well. But there was another interesting story about it on the same podcast I was listening to with Lil Rel, the comedian. Mm-hmm. And he was saying that he was on a set on the, I forget what set he was doing a movie on, but he was on the set, and this producer on there did some inappropriate things to one of the females on there. Not to him, but one of the females. And he said he stepped to him and told him, like, what the hell? Like, what? That's not cool. You don't do that. Don't ever do that again to her, and don't ever do it in my presence. Him and the girl or whoever it was, they weren't best of friends or anything. He just did the right thing, mm-hmm. you know. And he said that he thought he was going to be blackballed from the industry because he did that, because the dude was very powerful producer and was making calls. And he said that Ryan Reynolds and the guy that he got the I think it's Sean, the one he got the soccer team with, came to his rescue and backed him, and they ultimately cast him in that movie Free Guy or something like that. But he said that they backed him and they came to his side and was like, everyone in the industry knows that this dude is an asshole, you know. My thing with that is that there's so many of those type of predators, you know, in the Hollywood industry. I mean, there's plenty of them outside of the Hollywood industry, but there's so many of them within that industry, and they carry the clout of who they are. And so for the one person that they tell who's doing it, there's 20 of them that goes un.
They don't say anything yet.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So anyway, I just thought it was interesting that our black males, you know, so much is coming out lately, and so much truth is coming out in 2024 about the things that are happening in the industry and how people are speaking up. And then where they were completely blackballed at one time, here we have now white allies are coming to their rescue, or not rescue, but backing them and just saying, hey, you know, we won't blackball him. He told the truth, and
just support.
You know, we're going to support.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Our topic, anyway, getting to our topic is love truly blind? So you and I have been watching Love is Blind, and I think it's 6 seasons now, and we've probably watched, what, 2, 3? 2. You've watched 2. I've watched 3.
Whenever you told me, sit down, check this out. Is this true?
Yeah. But the first season we watched all the way through, and we were interested because, as most people know, and if you don't know, me and Mr. B were blind dates. And
it was a very cold call
because I cold hung up on you. Yeah. But we were a blind date, and the premises on Love is Blind, the show, is that they are trying to get couples to make an emotional connection sight unseen. And ultimately, the male is supposed to propose to whomever he has made this strong emotional connection with. And it's really fascinating some of the things that you see that goes on in the pods. And if you haven't seen this show, I think they start off with like 20 guys and 20, 15 or 20 guys and 15 or 20 girls and, or young ladies. And they are in these pods, and the pods have this stained thick glass in between them. So they never ever see each other until after they propose. And I think they do this in like a week or two that they have some conversation. And every guy doesn't connect with every girl, and there is, and every person doesn't get proposed to. So out of the 15 or 20 people, it's always maybe about four or five, maybe couples mm-hmm. that actually get proposed. And then out of that four or five, it seemed like it's only about two or three that actually go down the aisle. And of that two or three, maybe two people actually go through the marriage. So they seem to be running a pretty good percentage. But what I found interesting...
Pretty good percentage of what?
A pretty good percentage of having people actually have a connection. That 80-20 rule is what I'm looking at.
Yeah, no, mm-hmm. it's a 20% might have a connection, but mm-hmm. only like the 1% or a half yeah. percent is actually getting married.
Right.
On that.
On the set.
Mm-hmm. And then it's even... Well, I don't know. Is it less? No, it isn't. It's probably those people stay married.
Mm-hmm. And I believe out of the six season, 11 couples have gotten married and are still married mm-hmm. today. But what is really interesting to watch, Brian, and like I said, you know, Mr. B, me and you, we watched the whole entire first season. And it was amazing. I think the first season was the best season out of the sixth season. I believe the first season was the best because you don't know what was going to happen. It was so organic and so authentic. And people came in really, truly wanting, you know, tired of the dating scene and really wanted to settle down and make that true connection. And I believe now, or as we're going into the sixth season, that there are still people that are going in there authentically and organically. But then you have the people now that are looking for the clout, the exposure.
Yes, because I guess they dime people out for mm-hmm. talking, saying, I'm going to go do this experiment.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know how they're that deep in their phone, but yeah. you know, do they have to sign a waiver or something?
Yeah, they do have to sign a waiver, and they have to take away their, they take away their phones. They take away their phones for the time, but they were not in their phones. That dude text message was leaked. The girl that he was talking to actually leaked those text messages. Yeah, but that was crazy. But
that was wild.
Mm-hmm. But what for our listeners, so for those of y'all who know us, we were together through a blind date. We connected emotionally, and I say this all the time, that we fell in love over the phone, sight unseen, before we ever even seen each other. So when we did ultimately see each other, it was like we had already known each other, and that the only thing that was left between us was space. You know what I mean? So
tell the story, boo. Tell it.
I can't stand you.
Go ahead.
It was space. So when we did see each other, the first thing we wanted to do was hold each other, hug each other, have a kiss. That like the whole thing, it was like we had missed each other. So I get that whole connecting through the pause, and then finally when you see each other, you just want to run to each other, hold, kiss, you know, and really connect on that physical level, because you've already connected on that emotional and mental level. But then they go to like a little pre-honeymoon.
Right.
To see if there's a physical connection. And some of these couples, they, you know, have sex at the gate. They're doing the do. Then they find out that they're just not compatible. They don't You know, it's just not working. Some of them just like, you know, I'm out.
Or it ain't just the sex, it's the living. Mm-hmm. It's their
living together, they're not compatible.
Mm-hmm. You know, what they can tolerate, what they can't. Mm-hmm. How this guy brushes teeth.
Yeah. It was crazy.
How he or she keep up the place that they're living in.
Mm-hmm. What's interesting too is like one of their
attitudes.
Yeah, their attitudes, their family connections.
Oh my God.
Their cultures, their beliefs. It's like they connect on these emotional levels, but it's almost like they forgot to talk about the things that really matter. And what we have found,
their phones.
Mm-hmm. And what we found though from us looking at it is that the couples who are successful they talked about everything. It wasn't like they just was talking about love and who they want to marry and what they're doing with their life and their they talked about their families.
Mm-hmm. Finances.
They talked about their finances. They talked about their cultures.
Their future.
They talked about their,
were they going to have kids?
Yep. they put everything on the table, you know. And that just reminded me of us, like, we talked about almost everything. There were things that we talked about, though, that still slapped us in the face. And we were like, okay, yeah, we talked about being an interracial couple. We talked about racial tension. But we didn't know how it was going to feel or how it was going to react once we got into it.
Right.
You know, one of the most successful couples on there was from the first season, Cameron and his wife. They were the most successful, and they were an interracial couple. And she was black, he was white. He had dated black women before. She had never dated a white guy. And they ended up connecting emotionally through the pause, but they talked about everything. Mm-hmm. And when they finally met, the love and the connection grew even stronger. She had to go to her family and her friends and say, hey, you know, the guy I met is white.
But it's in a 2-week period.
Yes. So it's like a whirlwind, you know. But here it is almost 6-7 years and they're still together. They're still married and they have utilized their platform to do so many things and wrote books and, you know, top influencers. They got sponsors, all kind of stuff. What was very interesting is that I saw a video of his because the reunion, they just had the reunion for season 6 and they were not on it. And people were like, why were they not on it? They were like the most successful. He said that they were invited. They respectfully declined because they had another commitment. But he also made this statement. He said he wished all the couples luck and he loved Love is Blind because that's how he met
his wife.
And he can't imagine a world without his wife. He said, but when he tried to watch season 6, and after 2 or 3 episodes, he seemed like there were a couple of true connections, but everyone else was kind of in it for the entertainment, for the exposure, and that was after he even watched 1 or 2 episodes or 2 or 3 episodes. And he hit it on the head because even at that reunion, you saw things was coming out about, you know. But our question is love truly blind? Is it really blind? Do you feel that love can be truly blind and you can truly make a connection emotionally and fall in love with a person sight unseen? The answer for us is yes, because we did it.
Right. I think that love can be blind. Mm-hmm. But that's one element of moving forward in a relationship. Then you have trust and tolerance. Mm-hmm. And those aren't sight unseen. Those are actually visual stuff that you have to go through with your person. Mm-hmm. Trusting is something that you do over a period of time. You don't jump in and trust somebody completely right away. Mm-hmm. And tolerance, I mean, some things you got to tolerate what this person does for the rest of their life in your presence. Right. So, but yeah, love can be, you can love somebody unconditionally, blind.
There was one couple on
I don't think that I would have thought that years back, though.
Meaning? Elaborate a little bit.
I didn't think that way before we met. Because I was always looking.
And we were young.
Right.
We were young. I want to see what you look like. I don't want to be with no broke up. You know what I'm saying?
Patch on your eye. Kickstand. Yeah. Right.
No, yeah. Similar situation, you had dated black women prior to me. Mm-hmm. I had only dated one white guy prior mm-hmm. to you. Didn't go well. Okay? Mm-hmm. You know, so I was really skittish about the whole interracial thing. Mm-hmm. Not that I cared in the fashion that I didn't think it would ever happen for me, because I was open to love. I had opened myself to love, and I felt like I could be with whomever would treat me, you know, as a queen, what I deserved. But my heart was also closed because I had came out of such a nasty divorce, mm-hmm. you know. And then I just remember talking with God and saying, I can't do this dating thing. I never liked dating. I was horrible at it. I wasn't good at it at all. And I just never liked it. And so I remember just shutting down one day and just crying and talking to God and saying, God, I can't do this. I'm not date material. I don't know how to do this. And I need someone that's going to be my friend. I need someone who's going to love me for who I am and know that I have flaws and know that I have anxiety and know that I'm, you know, a little bit off the chain. You know, I just was talking to God and just telling God that I don't want to do this anymore. And I'm shutting it down, you know, shutting it all down, and I'm going to wait on him. You know what I mean? And then some weeks, months pass, and I get this phone call from you. And I'm already in the mode of, I've shut it down. It's over. I'm not doing this whole thing. I'm waiting on God. So when you called, that's what was going in my head. And the fact that you're a stranger, mm-hmm. and I can't believe that my friend would give my phone number to a stranger, which is why I hung up on you and I was so angry. And, you know, and I'm like, God, wait a minute now. I ain't about to do this. You know what I'm saying? And then you were persistent and caught me at the right moment where we ended up talking all night long, you know.
Hello, this is Organized Chaos. I got you back.
Do share. I think we end up being on the phone for almost, 9-10 hours? Because you called me like at 10. No, you called me at, I had just got off work, so it was maybe about 6 or 7 o'clock.
I was going to say, if I was calling you at 10, no, so inappropriate no, for the first call.
No, it was about 6, 7, but we ended up staying on the phone till like 4, 5 in the morning, because you had to go to PT.
Yeah.
You know, and
I'm quite sure that day sucked for me, but
I'm quite sure it sucked for me too. I was tired as hell at work, but that was the beginning of our emotional connection. But we talked about everything. Like it seemed like everything was on the table, even things that embarrassed us both, you know? Mm-hmm. And I believe, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. B, that in order to get an emotional connection, sight unseen, vulnerability is one of the key components that has to happen.
I agree. I think that you should, like in today, like if you're not fast tracking it, mm-hmm. I mean, keep something to the breast, mm-hmm. but I would say, yeah, you have to be vulnerable in your conversation, because that person has to know who you are in your entirety, mm-hmm. because if they don't, they're not marrying you, they're marrying part of you,
mm-hmm. or the perception of what they think,
or what you want them to think. Because mm-hmm. mm-hmm. it's like social media. Social media is the glam of who you are, mm-hmm. yes. Mm-hmm. Some of that's true. Some of it's, you know, glamorous or mm-hmm. whatever. But you don't post, oh my, I don't know, my the bottom of my shoe fell off today.
Right. You know, like, well, some people do. Oh, but yeah.
I'm sick. This is what I look like when I'm sick. Mm-hmm. Everybody's picture is always, you know, so nice. They're either handsome or pretty on mm-hmm. their picture. Mm-hmm. But I think people should get sick, take a picture, and put it up. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Here's me in my worst.
Like here I am with my CPAP machine.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
This is what I look like when I don't shave.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've had some pictures out there, but for the most, when I do the lives or when I do a video, I do use a filter. I always do pretty much sometimes. Sometimes hey, I don't, but it's not like...
I will tell you this, fellas. If your girl is using the filter and she asks you to get on her live with you, you're going to look like you got lipstick on or something.
I remember that. I got to turn the filter off.
We were doing a...
I do it just so I can get the lipstick.
We were doing a video cast with... on a podcast and mm-hmm. my lips was red.
And I said, hold on. Why are your lips so red?
I'm looking good over here.
You all here looking smackable. What is going on? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, but, watch that. Watch out for that.
But yeah, so you guys check out Love is Blind. If you haven't watched it, check it out. If you have never watched it, I would say don't watch season 6 first. Watch season 1 first. And tell us what you think. Because the question is love truly blind? Absolutely. Blind in the fact that there can be an emotional connection made with a person sight unseen. But in order to do it, there has to be complete honesty, complete transparency and vulnerability. And so there has to be, and I know Mr. B, you said that trust is visual, but even in this, there has to be a little bit of trust. It has to be just a little bit of trust for you to share something with a person that you've never met, but it has to be reciprocal. That person should be sharing, you know, with you. And that was one of the couples on here. She was like, I shared my most darkest or, you know, my things that was close to my breast with you. And you ended up proposing to some other girl after I had shared my vulnerability with you. In that case, I feel like she should have read the room. You were sharing way more than he was sharing with you.
I see that. Mm-hmm, never mm-hmm. there again. Mm-hmm. That's part of trust. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's part of trust. I mean, I'm not saying it's all visual, but what is that? Trust improve or you
trust if you give verify.
Yeah, but you give somebody a piece of you or mm-hmm. a task or this mm-hmm. or that, mm-hmm. you'll see if it gets done.
Absolutely, absolutely. And then in that same situation, the guy who didn't propose to her ended up proposing to that other girl. And that was a train wreck. That was a train wreck. I mean, he proposed to her. She accepted. But she had so many insecurities and so many... you could tell that what has ever happened to her prior... whatever her prior relationships may be mm-hmm. or something, there were some things, some baggage that she needed to take care of. Like there were some therapeutic things that needed to happen with her before she could give herself 100% mm-hmm. to him. You know what I mean? Because even if he was ready to give himself 100% to her, she was mm-hmm. in a situation where she... It appeared, now, I know television is television and things are edited so you don't see everything, but in what we were seeing, it appeared that she needed to do some soul searching and healing first.
Some cleaning up her mm-hmm. own house, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Also, when...
And he was not in a position where he felt like he could help her do that. And I'm going to come back to that, the reason why I said that. Okay. So go ahead.
No, I was going to say with that, she was insecure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And her insecurities mm-hmm. caused rifts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And the reason, so I'm coming back to.
Because okay. Her trust, I'm telling you, her trust wasn't there off of what other people said, not mm-hmm. him. I mean, because mm-hmm. he's mm-hmm. like, well, no, I didn't even see that person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I seen this person.
So if he was out, if somebody said, I saw him doing XYZ, she would automatically believe it. Automatically.
We had that situation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's where I was going to go back to.
All right. So mm-hmm. I was at the house.
Mm-hmm.
You were at the club.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I had people calling me from the club. Now, you got to understand, back then...
We had no cell... Well, we...
We ain't had no cell phones.
We
didn't
have no cell phones. So, there were no big block phones out, but we couldn't afford it.
This person had to put
Motorola.
This person had to actually put a dime or a quarter
in a
pay phone, get on it, and call me to a house phone
mm-hmm.
and say, hey, your girl at the club.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of gossip is that?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I know.
And she's out here dancing on the floor.
Ain't that what you do at a club? That's
yeah.
I was like, she's dancing? Oh, my God. Ain't that what you do at a club? He yeah. was like, but she dancing with this guy.
Yeah. I'll never forget it. We were doing the electric slide.
That ain't dancing with no guy.
That's dancing with everybody.
She dancing yeah. with everybody.
I remember that. And when I got back home, you said, I can't even think of the dude's name, and I wouldn't say it anymore.
I know his name. I know his name. I ain't put his name out there.
Yeah, but you said, you know, so-and-so called me. And I said, oh, yeah, I seen him at the club. Like, I ain't even think nothing of it. I was like, yeah, I seen him at the club. And I said, why, did he call you and tell you to come out or something? And he said, no, he called and told me you were dancing, da-da-da-da. I said, really? And he said, yeah. He said, did you have fun? And I said, I did.
I know.
And
I was like,
good
job.
Good job. It was crazy, but yeah. She believed everything. But I'm going to step back, though, because I said he was not equipped to take her on with her baggage.
Mm-hmm.
I came into our relationship with baggage because I had just came out of a nasty divorce some mm-hmm. months prior. So I came into the relationship with an emotional connection with you, head over heels in love with you, very vulnerable, very transparent. You knew about my previous marriage, my child, my situation, my finances, my grandparents raising me. Like, we laid everything on the table, but I still had that baggage, that hurt, that insecurities that had happened to me prior to meeting you. So I came into our situation with loads of bags,
mm-hmm.
you know, I was damaged goods, you know, and so were you, but in a different way, other things outside of relationships that happened, which to myself too, but I came into our relationship with that baggage. In the Love is Blind series, that dude, either he was not equipped to handle it or he was exhausted and did not want to. In our relationship, you would take the time, because I would get triggered about something you've done, and then I would take you down the rabbit hole.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember several times that you would take the moment to say, look, I'm not him. I'm going to make my own mistakes. Let me make my own mistakes, because I already know I'm not perfect.
Yeah, judge me on
so me. So don't judge me yeah, on his mistakes. But now, it took you several times of saying that to me because I was so triggered and so hurt and so insecure about all the things that had already happened to me. But if you didn't take the time to do that for me or with me, we may not have made it. Now, were you equipped to handle that with me? Absolutely not. But you had you wanted to. You wanted to school yourself up on, okay, how do I help D in this so we can have a healthy relationship? Yeah, she just came out of a very toxic and unhealthy relationship. But as long as she wasn't the toxic one, right. and I'm not seeing that she was, how can I help her? So I'm grateful to you, for that.
You wasn't toxic. You were protective.
Mm-hmm, very much so. Because you had been hurt. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I'm very grateful to you for that, because you took time to see me and to see through the parts of me that was so hurt, you know.
Organized chaos.
Organized.
I told you.
Right? Both of us, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But in the Love is Blind series with that couple, Jimmy and Chelsea, I think it was, not only was she hurt and brought baggage, but that hurt had brought a toxicity to her.
Mm-hmm.
And she had an unhealthy relationship with herself.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I know.
You know, there's no way that you can have a healthy relationship with someone else if you have an unhealthy relationship with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
She has a lot of work to do. I think she has the potential to be a super cool wife, girlfriend, or whatever it is, because she seems like she'll do anything for the guy, but at the expense of her being hurt in the background, that's not worth it.
Right.
You know. So, is love truly blind, Mr. B?
Love? Yeah.
Love is.
Love is blind. Love can be blind.
Love can be. Absolutely.
Some people like to see it, though.
Right up front.
Yeah, I ain't even gonna trust or tolerate.
Ain't tolerating. I want to know what you look like. I want.
I want to test drive this car.
Yep. Absolutely. There was the last thing we'll talk about is the couple on there that just stole our hearts. Was the couple that actually said "I do" at the
altar.
Don't
tell everybody.
That spoiler alert! If you haven't seen episode 6, the couple that actually stole our hearts was the
couple.
Don't
even say the names.
Was the couple that actually said "I do." If you guys look at Love is Blind, this couple is the epitome of the village family support, emotional connection, love. You guys check that. Check it out. Check that couple out. And then the last part is Clay and AD.
don't tell how it ended.
I won't tell y'all how it ended. I want y'all to see it. But what I am going to say is that mental disparity in our Black male community is real. It is so real. That is several episodes with Clay and AD. Had me crying uncontrollably, not just for them, but because my son, I have a Black son who deals with issues, you know, and things that he tries to work through the world, through community, through culture, in relationships. And I thank God that he has us to help him and to guide him and to, you know, to show him that therapy works and motivation works and affirmation works and reading, you know, works, because some of our Black males do not have that push. And from the Black community, we've always shunned therapy and psychiatry and psychology. We've shunned it. And so to have family that pushes our Black males to go and get the help that they need so they can be great to themselves, not just great to the next female or the next male or the community or the world, but to themselves, that they can love who they are first, is monumental. You guys have got to watch Love is Blind season 6. Just for, if anything, for Clay and AD. And watch the family dynamics of Clay and watch the trail of his hurt. And you guys tell me what you guys think, because let's root for our black men to get the help that they need so they can love themselves and in turn spread that love to the next generation. We love y'all for real. Mr. B?
I love y'all for real too.
Do you? Uh-oh, y'all heard that?
That's be a question.
Asking all these questions. We love y'all for real. Y'all know y'all can check us out. Mr. B&D, our brand is Diverse Love. Y'all can hit us up on hello@diverselove.com or truthandcoffeetime@gmail.com or www.diverselove.com. We truly love y'all. Thank y'all for rocking with us as we share our truth over coffee.
Don't want no one else but you, so stay by my side, like I stay on your mind.
Thank you, friends, for hanging with us. We got you. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast. And also, please follow us on IG, Facebook, and Twitter. Our social platform is @DiverseLove. That's DiverseLuv.
And don't forget, you can listen to our podcast on Anchor, Spotify, Apple, Google, or wherever you get your podcast fix.
Thank you, friends. We love y'all for real.
Okay, me, take us out.
It's Truth and Coffee Time.
Help me not think about all my lows. Think of who you are sometimes. Girl, you always on my mind. Looking like it's Truth and Coffee Time. Tell me what you really want to know. Girl, it ain't